Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We'll end there at verse 19. We trust the Lord will bless his word to us. I'm sure many people know what happened at 3:30 p.m. on the 16th of August 1977 at a Baptist hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm sure many people already know what I'm going to say, but at that particular hour, at that particular moment, Elvis Aaron Presley was pronounced dead. A medical examiner at a press conference said that Mr. Presley had been suffering from cardiac arrhythmia, in other words, an irregular heartbeat. He said under examination that Mr. Presley had signs of cardiovascular disease present. In other words, Elvis Presley, as we call the king, had a heart problem. And my dear friend, he wasn't the first king to have a heart problem. Remember David in Psalm 51 in verse 5 said, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And you see, dear friend, King David had a heart problem. It was called sin. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, had a heart problem. It was called sin. I have a heart problem. It's called sin. And my dear friend, you've got a heart problem, and it's called sin. The king had a heart problem. And at 3:30 on that day, 28 years ago almost, he was pronounced dead. The headline in the paper the next day said that the king is dead. This news rocked the world. This news was met with so much unbelief that even yet today, there are people who have claimed to have seen Elvis Presley alive. In fact, I went on to the Elvis Presley Spotters website, and there's 250,000 people who have claimed to have an encounter with Elvis Presley. 250, that's 250,000 people have claimed from 1977 until the year 2005, 250,000 people have claimed to have seen Elvis Presley. One man who was a pilot in the Italian Air Force said that he was out fishing one day. And I do a bit of fishing as well, it's one of my hobbies. And he said he was out fly fishing and fishing away, and just beside him, Elvis was fishing. Didn't catch anything, not a bit of wonder. If you had a head like that, you'd never catch nothing. Another lady, she was a waitress in a restaurant, and she said that Elvis came in and ordered fish and chips. And other people have claimed and swore under oath that they have seen Elvis Presley. My dear friend, none of us will ever meet Elvis Presley. Well, some of us might, depending on where he's at in eternity. And dear friend, we might never meet any famous person. We might never meet David Beckham or Ronaldo or Wayne Rooney or any of those famous people. But my dear friend, one thing is absolutely certain. One day, we're going to meet God. Did you realize that one day you're going to have a divine encounter? You're going to meet God. You're going to stand before God. Here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Do you realize, dear friend, dear sinner friend tonight, maybe there's one here even, and you're not saved, and you haven't realized that you're going to have a divine encounter. One day, you're going to stand before God. It's a certain meeting. Here's what the word says. It says, so then, every one of us, there's no exceptions. Every one of us in this meeting tonight will stand before God. It's a certain meeting. And my dear friend, it's a personal meeting, because so then, every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. You see, on that day, God will not be worried about your neighbor or your best friend. It will be an account of yourself, a personal meeting with God. My dear friend, it will be a divine meeting. So then, Every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Do you realize you're going to stand before God? Do you realize, dear friend, that you're going to stand before a thrice holy God, the God who sent the Son to die for your sin? It's no wonder it says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." And my dear friend, if you stand before God in your sin, there's absolutely no excuse. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." There's no excuse that you can offer. Dear friend, God did everything that he had to do. He sent his only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he went to Calvary, and there he died for sinners, and he died for you. And my dear friend, if you stand before God without Christ as your Savior, you'll have no excuse to offer. On that day, mind you, God won't be asking you if you're religious, no. He'll not be asking you if you've come to the Baptist church week after week, no. He'll not be asking you if you've been baptized or confirmed or anything like that, no. He'll just want to know what you've done with Jesus Christ. That's all he'll want to know. It will just be a simple interview, and he'll just ask you, "What have you done with my Son? Look, I sent him from heaven. And I sent him today that you might be saved. And what have you done with him?" Oh, dear friend, you're going to meet God. Are you ready to meet God, I ask you tonight? Are you ready for this divine encounter? You know, there are two ways to meet God. You can meet God in your sin. Oh, a terrible thing to meet God in your sin. It would be a terrible thing to meet God lost in your sin. And tonight you can meet God in your sin, or you can meet God in Christ. Oh, dear friend, if you meet God in Christ, the Bible says, "There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." Oh, dear friend, do you see the glory of being saved tonight? You can meet God in your sin, or you can meet God in Christ. Two ways to meet God. There are two places to meet God. You can meet God on planet Earth, or you can meet God in eternity. You see, dear friends, you're going to meet God, and you're going to meet him in either one of those two conditions. You're either going to meet him in your sin, or you're going to meet him in Christ. You're going to meet him in time, or you're going to meet him in eternity. And dear friend, we have read about 10 men tonight in Luke's Gospel chapter 17. And these 10 men have come face to face with the Savior. They've had a meeting with Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers." Now, as we look at these men, the first thing we notice about them is that they're in their sins. These men are 10 lepers. They're unclean in the sight of God. They've been banished out of society. They've been put out of the congregation of Israel. My dear friend, these 10 men are in their sins. They're meeting God in their sins, but they're meeting God on earth. Here's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 24, that the Son of Man hath power, listen, on earth to forgive sins. What we discover about these 10 men, now they're meeting God, they're in their sins, but they're meeting on planet earth. And when we look at them, they're in a place where they can be saved. These 10 men have an opportunity to be saved. They're meeting the Lord Jesus Christ in their sins, yes, but they're meeting him on planet earth. And the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Oh, dear friend, this is a glorious thing. The next time they meet God, it will be in eternity. And when we read this story, we'll see that they're in Christ. What a transformation. It's a wonderful thing to meet the Savior. And dear friend, in the meeting tonight, if you're not saved, you're meeting God. Because the Lord is here by the power of His Spirit. And you're meeting the Lord in your sin, that's a dangerous thing. But dear friend, tonight you're meeting Him on planet earth. And this is the time for you to be saved. There's an opportunity tonight, dear friend, for you to get saved. You see, you're meeting the Lord in your sin, yes, but you're meeting him in time. You're meeting him on planet earth. Now tell me this. If you were meeting him at this very moment in eternity, how would it be? If you were meeting the Lord Jesus Christ now in your sin and in eternity, how would it be? Well, you wouldn't fare too well, would you? You see, all that the Lord could say to you is, "Depart from me, ye cursed, ye that work iniquity." All that the Lord could say to you would be, "Cast you out into outer darkness." The book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, here's what it says. It says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And my dear sinner friend in the meeting tonight, if you were to meet God at this very moment in time, God would have no option but to cast you into the lake of fire because you're not saved. You see, you're meeting God in your sin and you're in eternity and it's too late to be saved. Oh, what a tragedy. These men are not too late now. Look at verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. What we discover here in verse 11 is that the Lord Jesus Christ is on a journey, and he's on a journey south. He's come right down the land of Israel and he's going to Jerusalem. Do you know why he's going to Jerusalem? Well, I'll tell you why. He's going to die on the cross. And my dear friend, he's on the last leg of his earthly journey, and he's come right down the land of Israel, and he's moving south, and he's just come through this village, and he's going to the cross, and I tell you, he's not coming back to this village again. This is these men's last opportunity. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing through. He's on his way to the cross. And my dear friend, when he gets to Jerusalem, do you know what they're going to do? They're going to take the lovely Son of God, and they're going to have a mock trial. And they're going to say, look, he's innocent. We found no fault in this man. And then they're going to turn around and crown him with thorns. And then they're going to strip him and they're going to whip him till his back's like a ploughed field. And then they're going to lay a cross upon him and they're going to lead him down the narrow streets of Jerusalem. And they're taking him to Calvary and they're going to crucify him and nail his hands to an old rugged cross. And they're going to drop the cross into the ground and all his bones will be out of joint. That's where he's going. And my dear friend, I tell you, he's going there that he might be your Savior. He's going there that he might pay the price for your sin and mine. And my dear friend, can you see him by faith on the cross? And he's bleeding from head to foot. And he's suffering so much pain, we can't even describe it. And Isaiah said that his visage is so marred more than any man's, and is far more than the sons of men. That means that he's totally unrecognizable as a human being. And my dear friend, he's there for your sin. He's there that he might be your Savior. Look at verse 12. And here he's on the journey now, and he's going south, and he's going to Jerusalem, and he's going to die for you. And look what it says in verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And my dear friend, I tell you again, this was the last chance for these 10 men. The Savior wasn't coming back that way anymore. He was going to the cross, and he was going from there to the tomb, and he's going from the tomb to glory. And tonight he's at the right hand of the Father. And for these men, this was their last opportunity. Now this village here is not named in scriptures. It just says it was a certain village. It's not a very important place. And my dear friend, we're not told the name of these 10 men. They're just unimportant people. And this is an insignificant place. And they're insignificant people. And it's not recorded in the history books. It's not very important as far as this old world's concerned. But I, dear friend, I tell you, it's important to these 10 men. This was the day when these 10 men met with Jesus Christ. What a day. What a wonderful day it was for them. As far as the world was concerned, it doesn't really matter. It's just a certain village. Oh, it's not named. We're not told what time it was, and we're not told what day it was. And it wasn't in the newspapers. But, dear friend, it was important to these 10 men because they met with the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the moment when these unclean, condemned, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinners, they met the Savior. They met the only one who could do anything for them. They'd never met anyone like him before. I'm sure they'd went to the doctors and they said, look, we can do nothing for you. They tried the charmers and they could do nothing. They tried all the medicines. They tried all the cures. But here they've met someone who can do something for them. Dear friend, tonight in this meeting, I tell you, if you're still in your sin, you've just met someone who can do something for you. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I tell you, there's no other Savior. And tonight you can meet with the only one who can take away your sin. These men are meeting with the Savior. I want to notice 4 things about these men. First of all, in verse 12, I want you to notice that they all had the same disease. Look what it says. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The thing that linked these 10 people was their disease. They all had the same disease. These men might have come from different backgrounds. Some of them might have been rich men. Some of them may have been poor men. Some of them may have been religious men. Some of them may have been atheists. I don't know. But dear friend, the thing that linked the 10 men... was their disease called leprosy. I want you to use your imagination for a moment or two. I'm sure we've all got an imagination, but let's imagine that one of these men was a school teacher. And my, he was really good at his job, and he was good to the children, and he stayed behind school for extracurricular activities. Perhaps he taught the little boys how to play football or something. And he was a school teacher, but he was a leper. Perhaps one of them was a carpenter. I used to be a carpenter. And maybe he could hang 14 doors in a day. I should have had to hang 13. And maybe he could roof a house, and maybe he could make a coffee table, but he was a leper. Maybe one of them was a charity worker, and he'd got a heart of gold. And he gave all he had to charity, and he collected money for charity, and he collected money for disasters. And my dear friend, he was a wonderful person, but he was a leper. And then another one, he was a drunkard. And I've had a little bother from a drunkard this last while. There's a drunkard come to our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and I had to go and buy him a feed and take him and sort him out. And he rung me again on Friday night looking the same. Somebody said to me, when are you opening your chip shop? But my dear friend, I don't mind it. He was a man, and he was lost in his sin, and he's taken over by drink, just like this man. Maybe one of these men was a leper. And maybe one of them was a drunkard, I should say. Maybe one of them had wasted his money. He was bad till his wife, and he was bad till his children. And my dear friend, he was a nuisance to society, and he was a leper, just the same as the school teacher and the carpenter and the charity worker. Perhaps one of them was a politician. And we might say, well, he deserved everything he got. And maybe one of them was a member of the Board of Governors in the local school, and he was a real pillar in society. He was a respectable, honest, decent, hard-working man, but he was a leper. Maybe one of them was a terrorist. My dear friend, he was one of those potential suicide bombers. Someone who would have come in and maybe shot everybody in this church wouldn't have cost him a thought. And he was a terrorist, but he was a leper. Maybe one of them was the milkman, and he was up at 4 every morning. And he was a hard worker, and he did his best, and if you didn't leave out your money, he would have given you a couple of weeks before he came looking about it. And one of them was the milkman, but he was a leper. Then one of them was a butcher, and he would have always give you good meat. He made good minced beef. My dear friend, he was an honest man. He'd give you a good pound, give you a good measure, but he was a leper. One of them perhaps was a policeman. The sort of policeman that would let you off if you were doing 35 when you should have been doing 30. The sort of policeman who would say, look, put your seatbelt on there, let you off this. Now, I've never met one like this, but just in case, there might be one. And dear friend, among these 10 lepers, there were ordinary people, but they were all lepers. And I want to present 3 of them to you just now, just to see something. Say we brought Mr. Schoolteacher up, and you know, he looks fine, and he's well-dressed, and he's good to the children. He's got a good job. He's got a good salary, but he's a sinner. And then we bring Mr. Drunkard up, and he's bad till his wife. He beats her up all the time, and he's bad till his children, and he uses all the money, and there's no food in the house, but there's drink in the cupboard. And let's bring him up here. He's a leper. He's not saved. And then we bring Mr. Terrorist, and nobody likes him because he wants to kill everybody. And we bring him up here, and there we have Mr. Schoolteacher. He's not saved. We've got Mr. Drunkard. He's not saved. We've got Mr. Terrorist, and he's not saved. Now tell me, what's the difference in those 3 men? You see, there is no difference. You see, dear friend, there is no difference. They're all on their way to a lost eternity in the place called hell. And you'd rather be the schoolteacher, yes. But my dear friend, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you are because they're not saved. And maybe that's the way you think. Maybe you think, well, I'm not a bad person. Dear friend, you're a sinner according to God's word. And you might say, look, I'm a religious person, but that doesn't matter in the light of eternity. You've either got Christ or you haven't. You're either saved or you're lost. You see, if we line up all the unsaved people on planet Earth, and we've got the religious unsaved person, and he thinks he doesn't need the Savior, or he thinks he's earned it. He thinks he's earned his way into heaven by going to church. And then we've got the self-righteous, unsaved person. And my, he thinks he's good enough for heaven on his own. He doesn't need the Savior. No, he's a good, honest, upright, decent, hard-working man. And he's absolutely certain that he's going to heaven. He's a self-righteous, unsaved person. And then we've got the couldn't-care-less, unsaved person. And he doesn't want to be saved. I've met people like this. Talking to a man in the streets a few months ago. And he said, look, I want to go to hell. He says, all my friends will be down there. All the bad women, he said, will be down there. There'll be plenty of drink down there. And I said, look, you're only fooling yourself. And we have the couldn't care less unsaved person. And then we've got the pleasure seeking unsaved person. And they have no room for Jesus Christ. Their life is far too busy for the Lord Jesus Christ because they've got to club on a Friday and they've got to drink on a Saturday and they've got to club on a Sunday and they have no time for this Savior. Dear friend, what's the difference in those people? There is no difference. See, the religious unsaved, he's on his way to a lost eternity. And the respectable unsaved, he's just exactly the same. He's on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. And the couldn't care less unsaved, well, he's on the same road. And the pleasure seeker, he's on the same road. Here's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. No difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My dear friend, if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, don't fool yourself into thinking you're different than anybody else. Elvis Presley had a heart problem. King David had a heart problem. I had a heart problem. And you've got a heart problem. It's called sin. And dear friend, these 10 people, they all had the same disease. They were all inflicted and afflicted by the universal disease called sin. Do you know the reason tonight that we grow old is because of sin? You're older tonight than you were this morning because of sin. My dear friend, do you know the reason why we suffer pain? Why I've got a sore back just now? It's because of sin. Do you know the reason why we experience sadness and tears come running out of our eyes? It's just because of sin. Dear friend, do you know the reason why we become afraid? Some of us are afraid of the dark. Some of us are afraid of the bogeyman they used to talk about where I come from. But my dear friend, the reason we're afraid is because of sin. The reason we tell lies is because of sin. Here's what the psalmist says, Psalm 58 and verse 2, or else verse 3, says that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. My dear friend, every one of us tell lies because of sin. And you see, the reason we're dying tonight is because of sin. Now tell me, is there anybody here who's never felt sad? Anybody who's not getting older? Anybody who's never felt pain? Anybody who's never cried? Is there anybody like that? Well, if there is, you haven't sinned. But my dear friend, I don't think there's anybody like that. Nobody would be silly enough to say that. And my dear friend, that tells me tonight that every single one person in this meeting tonight, from the front to the back, we need a Savior. We need a Savior because we're all infected with the same disease. And this old disease is called sin. And my dear friend, the only one who can take away sin, the only one who can meet your need tonight, is Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. He's the one who shed his blood. He's the one who died. He's the one who cried, "It's finished." And my dear friend, tonight, he's the only one who can save your precious soul. These 10 men, they all had the same disease. Look secondly at verse 12. They were all at the same distance. Notice what it says. It says, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That's where they're at. They're afar off. The Savior's there, and they're over there. They're afar off. They can't come near because of their sin. These men knew that they were no fit state to come into the presence of the Lord. And they're crying over, they're afar off, and they're crying over to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2? He says that your iniquities and your sins have separated between you and your God. And dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're afar off. You're separated from God because of sin. And no one is going to tell you, you can't get into heaven like that. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Verse 27 says, "Not that defileth shall ever enter in." Dear friend, if you die the way you are just now, you'll never see heaven. You'll never see the golden street of heaven, because "not that defileth shall ever enter in." And you see, you're afar off tonight. You're separated from God because of your sin. You're just like these 10 men who were afar off. And you might say to me, "Well, that's not such a big problem. I'm feeling fine. I've got many years. Everything's rosy. I've got plans made for the future." But dear friend, you're still in time, you see. Sinner friend tonight, you're in your sin, but you're still in time. I want you to go back a chapter in your Bible, to Luke's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 23. And we see a totally different situation. Because this man, he's meeting God in his sin. But he's not in time anymore. He's in eternity. He's got off planet Earth and he's down in eternity now. And look where he's at. It says in verse 23, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off." He's at the exact same distance as these 10 men. He's afar off. My dear friend, it's an awful thing to be afar off. He's at the same distance, you see. And my dear friend, he's got the same disease, but he's in eternity. He's not on earth, and that's a problem. And my dear friend, if any of you can tell me when you'll be in eternity, I'd like to hear it. You see, you don't know. And you could go out of this meeting tonight and end up in eternity, and just like the rich man, you would be afar off. Oh, dear friend, that's an awful place to be. This man has the same disease now, and he's got the same distance, and he's in eternity, and he can't be saved. Here, friend, tonight, you can be saved. You can be saved, but this man, he can't be saved. And you see, that's 2,000 years ago, and tonight he's still in the place called hell. And a million years from now, he'll still be there, and he'll still be suffering torments. Oh, dear friend, what a tragedy. To be at a distance from God and be in eternity and find it impossible to be saved. These 10 men had the same disease. These 10 men were at the same distance. But look at verse 13. These 10 men, they all had the same desire. They all wanted the same thing. It says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These 10 men who were diseased with sin and at a distance from God, the first thing we notice about them is they called on the right person. Notice who they called on. Jesus, Master. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Mary was told, because he shall save his people from their sins. Dear friend, Jesus means Savior. And these 10 men who were lost in sin, they called on the right person. They called on the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, we've already established in this meeting that there's none of us without sin. Nobody put their hand up when I said, is there anybody who's never been sad or never told a lie or never been in pain? My dear friend, that tells me tonight that every one of us need a Savior. And every one of us would need to be calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these 10 men, they realized they had a big problem. They realized that they were on their way to a lost eternity without God and without Christ. And my dear friend, they called on the right person. They called on Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Not only did they call on the right person, but they called for the right thing. Look at verse 13 again. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They needed mercy. And my dear friend, we all need mercy. Mercy is that which takes away from us that which we deserve. God's mercy is available tonight. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. If you want to be saved tonight, there's mercy. There's mercy in the Lord. Dear friend, there's an abundant supply of mercy tonight. But dear friend, I want you to think about the man in hell again, this rich man. And he's at a distance and he's got the disease and he's out in eternity. And notice what he says in verse 24, Luke 16, 24. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Dear friend, he's crying out for mercy now, but there is no mercy. Oh, there is no mercy. And there's no salvation, and there's no forgiveness, and there's no peace. Can you see the danger of going into eternity without Christ? This man, he's at a distance from Christ. And he's lost in his sin, and he's crying out for mercy. He knows he needs mercy. But there is no mercy. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You see, when this man lived on earth, he was a rich man. Perhaps he even owned his own well. Perhaps he had a bottling company, I don't know. But my dear friend, he's in hell now, and he just wants one wee single drop of water. That's all he wants. He doesn't want beer now, and he doesn't want whiskey, and he doesn't want spirits. He just wants one single drop of water. You imagine what it would be like to be in a place where you just wanted one wee drop of water in your tongue. You see, if you go out of this scene of time in your sin, that's where you'll be. You'll be beside the rich man. And you'll be crying out for mercy. Dear friend, would you not cry out for mercy now? Would you not look about mercy and forgiveness now? You see, dear friend, you're still in time to be saved. You're meeting God tonight. You're meeting the Savior. And you're meeting him on planet Earth. And you're meeting him on your sin. And tonight you can be saved. These 10 men all had the same disease. They all were at the same distance. And they all had the same desire. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Notice verse 14. They all got the same directions. It says, and when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves unto the priests. When you got leprosy in Israel, the first thing you had to do was go to the priest. And you went to the priest and he examined you. And he said, look, go away and come back in 7 days' time and I'll have another look at you. And they went away and come back in 7 days and he had another look at them. And then he said, look, outside the camp. Get outside the camp because I can do nothing for you. You're unclean. And from now on, carry a bell with you. And if you see anybody, shout, unclean, unclean. And don't let anybody come near you. And these boys are wondering now, why should we go to the priest? The last time we went, he put us out of the congregation of Israel. The last time we went, there was nothing he could do for us. But dear friend, it wasn't going to the priest that cleansed them. It was doing what Jesus said. It was obedience to the inspired, infallible word of the loving God. You see, once they obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, then they were saved. Dear friend, would you not obey his word? You know what Jesus says tonight? Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Young person in the meeting tonight, older person without Christ, I tell you, if you don't repent, if you don't turn away from your sin, no matter what that sin might be, you'll perish. Jesus says that. And you see, it's obedience to the inspired word of God that will bring you to Christ tonight and cleanse your precious soul. These 10 men, they were all had the same disease. They were all at the same distance. They all had the same desire. They all got the same directions. But look at verse 14 again. They all got the same deliverance. Hallelujah. Dear friend, these 10 men were an awful case, a shocking case. They were all leprosy. Maybe their fingers had fallen off. I don't know how far it might have been. But dear friend, they were a shocking case. But they all got the same deliverance. Look what it says at the end of the verse. "And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." Dear friend, you can leave this meeting tonight cleansed from all your sin. As you go, you can be cleansed if you do what Jesus said, repent of your sin. Oh, dear friend, these 10 men got the same deliverance. They met with the Lord Jesus Christ in their sin on planet Earth, and they left him rejoicing, clean as the driven snow. My dear friend, what a wonderful thing to meet the Savior. You can meet the Savior tonight. You can call upon his name. You can ask them to take away your sin and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and guarantee you a place in heaven. Or you can walk out and say, "Well, not of this man. The reign over me." What's it going to be? There are two ways to meet God. You can meet him in your sin. You can meet him in Christ. There are two places to meet God. You can meet him in Lisburn Baptist Church tonight on earth. Or you can wait till you're in eternity, and then there'll be no mercy. And there'll be no forgiveness. And there'll be no peace. My dear friend, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this opportunity to meet the Savior? Are you going to take it? You might say, "I've got plenty of time." Dear friend, I've stood at enough gravesites to know you haven't plenty of time. I've seen enough little white coffins carried out to know you haven't plenty of time. My dear friend, what are you going to do with this opportunity? Are you going to take Christ? I trust you will.